The Lord so encouraged my heart at church camp so many different ways. And I was grateful to God for the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Many joys, matter of fact, just manifold, and they continue to come forth. Sometimes the Lord just kind of shuts up what he does and reveals it a little by little, you know. That's how he does stuff. You know how that goes. But I'm thankful for the witnessing of the hope that lies within us. And I know that that's the grace of God that does that. And this specifically tonight, I believe, is a testimony and a witness of a joy that was seen at camp. And what an opportunity it was, and an encouragement to my heart, to expound the gospel of Christ upon a child of God, to receive even more truth and love, all by the Spirit of the Lord working in us, giving us utterance, but all due to the sincerity of the Spirit and his evidence. And thank God for the freedom of praise. And thank the Lord for this. And not, again, sincerity. Not in man's effort, not in something that would be a strange fire, but in sincerity and that precious evidence seen, praise God, in the adults, but especially even in children and very young ones at that. But this young man came to me, and he came out from among his friends, if you could imagine that. And this is a young man that is in his 20s, and he was encouraged of the Lord to know more about the Holy Ghost. And as I began to find out through a witnessing to him, he's a very precious Christian family. I've known them for years, and they love the Lord. So sweet. But again, not much evidence of anything about necessarily the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But as this young man came, he said, you know, I'm filled. I spoke in tongues before. And I said, really? He said, oh, yes, I have. He said, but really didn't know much about it and wasn't really encouraged much in it as well either. It was more of a hush-hush thing in the house because mom and dad, in a sense, didn't necessarily believe that way. But it was sweet because he said, I want to know more about the Holy Ghost. And I just smiled and I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Again, do any of us really expect to be anywhere? Sometimes, I guess maybe we do, but this precious brother in the Lord, it was really very doubtful, and yet God had a plan, and God had a meeting. God had an appointment, and I thank the Lord that I happened to be one that was called to be at that appointment, to listen to what the Spirit would say. But see, this was a brother that wanted to know the Word more perfectly. And he was sincere about it. He knew there was something. And I thank God again for genuine sincerity, genuine compassion and passion of the Lord that God places in our lives. Those that the Lord will quicken to see by the grace of God will inquire about the hope that lies within you. Now, that you're not going to be asked daily about it. So get over that. But the Lord will know by the grace of God when it's his, you know, it's his will, obviously. But, you know, I know that the Lord, when we desire to be used of the Lord, he'll do it. But immediately, as this young man said that, I thought of Apollos there in Acts 18:26. And I commended him. And I said, you know, brother, yeah, we'll go ahead and turn there. That's, why not? Amen. In Acts 18:26, see, again, Apollos, it tells you here, he was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the Scriptures. Can you imagine that? I mean, powerful, and a preacher, an evangelist, someone that really, truly had passion and love and was instructed in the things of God and fervent in the Spirit. And he spake and he taught diligently, but the only thing he knew was the baptism of John. There was something that was limiting to him. And it was sweet because there was that little couple that had been with Paul for all those years that had taken the Apostle Paul into their home, that Brother Paul had witnessed, again, that dispensation that was given to him, the more perfect way. And praise God, as they heard Apollos, these two came to Apollos and they said, you know, and I'm confident because the Lord has us to have opportunity like that. Aren't you thankful when somebody's sincere about their love for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for people that live to the faith at least that they have received? And I will say, there was a brother, his name is Bill Armstrong. He just recently went to be with Jesus. He was, I believe, a congressman. Is that right? I think in this state for many, many years. And he was the president of the Calder Christian University. Precious brother in the Lord. And, you know, was able to hear him talk and different things of that nature. The thing that I will say, I'm grateful to God that the faith that that brother received, he lived that faith to the full extent that God, that he would allow God to give it. And it was wonderful. And it was a very powerful life. And the Lord used him magnificently in those things. And that's where we can say, however Christ is preached, we therein do rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. So I was thankful to God in that. But what was so beautiful about this Apollos is this man that was so powerful in the scriptures and all of these different things, he was open and embraced the grace of God and wanted to know that way more perfectly. When this couple came to him, he didn't ask or inquire, who are you, how do you know, and all these things. They took him into the Word of God. And praise God, as we know, this precious Apollos was transformed. That mind was renewed, and praise God, that truth was received, and he became one of the apostles, hallelujah, of the whole counsel of God and the Word of God. And how wonderful that this young man, in that desire to come and to sincerely ask me, wasn't it wonderful to be able to commend him and say, you know what? I want to show you about a brother that the Lord graced with a heart that I perceive is the same heart that the Lord has graced you with. God help us to ever be a know-it-all in Jesus. Amen. Amen? All right. So this is a wonderful thing. But see, right off the bat, you know where we would head. We'd head right to John 16. And in John 16, as we see there, which was such a precious encouragement to my heart, is to say, you know, and just like that sweet little lady that received the Holy Ghost today, to be able to hug her and rejoice with her and be thankful again for her receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now she knows she has the gift of the Holy Ghost because, praise God, the Lord gave her that evidence of the speaking in tongues, and so wonderful. And she didn't want to quit, but I think everybody got hungry and they made her stop, so I don't know. But it was time to break for lunch. You know, it's kind of funny. If I go to lunch, or one of us goes to lunch on a Sunday and somebody's praying, if that person gets there, if Polly would have got there fast, I would have kind of questioned, oh, so we're kind of going to do this again. And it was, but if it takes like a long time, I knew it. You know, because we had waited there a long time. But it was good because I had good fellowship with Brother Leray. And it was so precious because I said, Brother Leray, I said, don't worry. I said, it's a wonderful time because I'm confident that sweet lady received the Holy Ghost. And by golly, she received the Holy Ghost. And it was so wonderful, that infilling of the Holy Ghost. But as she came, you know, just embrace her. And she just, she said, I've never had a peace like I've never had such a joy. And you could just see her glow. And it was so precious. It was, you know, and it was wonderful. But just to really express to her is to say, now, honey, that's something that, again, you just continue to rejoice in as the Lord encouraged your heart. And as you go home tonight, pray in that precious language and enjoy that, because that you're going to need that peace over and over. I mean, he's given that peace. But I'll tell you what, that language, there's a comfort in that language and a peace. But I said, you understand that the power in all of this that you receive today is now the power to be led into all truth. The power, praise God, to have eyes enlightened with understanding. You've been hearing these things, and you could see her getting excited about bridal truth. And it's sweet because I've seen different ones. It was just like Brother Paul Martinez. I always talk about him, you know. He had been hearing about bridal truth, sitting over there, right over there, you know, for about, my goodness, I don't know how many months, and he's sitting there, and he just come pounding on my door after a Sunday night. I gotta receive that Holy Ghost. And he did. I mean, it was like, whoa, okay, Brother Paul, I like that. And it was so funny because I forget what was going on, but I said, okay, now, I think I was going right out of town that night. And I said, you know, brother, I want you to call Brother Kevin. And it wasn't to say, okay, I'm going to go dump on Brother Kevin, you know, because we need to pray for one another. But I called Brother Kevin. I said, you know, Brother Kevin, I said, no, I'm not just sending somebody over there or anything. I said, this guy, by the grace of God, he's going to receive that Holy Ghost, and he's ready. And it was funny because I got a call early that morning. He said, that guy was knocking on my door like at 6:45 in the morning, ready to receive the Holy Ghost. But he said, you know what, brother, you were right. In 10 minutes, he was all fine in the Holy Ghost. But he said he went on for an hour, and I couldn't get him out of my house. He was funny about it. But no, he rejoiced. He was just teasing. But you know what a joy that is. But see, that's that power. That's that encouragement that we have. And you know, as the Lord gives you truth, and as he encourages you and blesses you in receiving Paul's gospel, you need power. You need power because you're going to be fought like you've never been fought before. You're going to be attacked like you've never been attacked, because he's going to prove, as Brother Peter was witnessing to us in Scripture today. He said, because that was the proving of the sincerity of the faith that the Lord has given me. Amen. And see, that's that faith in love and truth in love. And we're just so grateful to God that he gives us that. So we went into John 16 and we were able to just rejoice there that, again, as we know, and I'm confident everyone here, and thank the Lord, and don't say, oh, I know this, I don't need to hear this. That, thank the Lord you know this, that you know what, those disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They hadn't received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And praise God that there was a purpose, and the Holy Ghost had not been poured out for this specific purpose yet, this purpose of being led into all truth and being prepared and readied for Paul's gospel. Amen. This was what this preparing was all about, was that we would receive and have the ability to receive the proposal of Jesus Christ and his bride. So, as you can imagine, the Lord encouraged our heart and there was no time wasted. And then from there, he said, it was sweet, that young man, he said, yes, I see that. Praise God. Well, let's go on over to Acts. And let's, again, go through all of those different precious scriptures that show us so sweetly, whether Acts 2, Acts 8, all throughout here, that when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. There's one place where it doesn't, well, we'll get to that in just a minute, but that evidence is there. And praise God, because my heart gets heavy, and I've heard over the years, and people that I love very dearly, man has come in, and Christian man has come in and said, well, you don't need to speak in tongues. You know, you're just, you can be filled without speaking in tongues. That's not true. That is not true. It is something that is not in the Word of God. It's contrary. And matter of fact, it'll defeat your life. Man wants to, again, appease man. I'm not here to appease man. I want to appease God. And we appease God and believe God. You'll receive of God. I don't want to receive of man. I want to receive of God. And we thank the Lord for this. And it was sweet because this brother, as he knew, he had received the Holy Ghost, because I mentioned that he knew he spoke in tongues. But he wanted to really know this more perfectly and understand, because he had been witnessed by ones he loved very much all of his life. Well, that's not true, son. You receive the Holy Ghost when you're saved. In a sense, that infilling, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost at the time you're saved and all. And we went through those parts of Acts. And I said, and he said, well, what about Acts 2:38? And it's very common that somebody that wants to come in and argue about being the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they'll come right to this scripture and try to say, well, see here, you can receive the Holy Ghost and you don't have to have the infilling of the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Acts 2:37, we'll go back there. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, again, they'll just go right there and say, well, see, you're going to get saved, you're going to repent, you're going to be baptized, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you look at that and you really read it, just even in that context, ye shall receive. That ability is there. Praise the Lord. You have to be saved. Believe it or not, you have to be saved to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's why, praise the Lord, that the Holy Ghost was given to them that believe. Amen? And we have to continue on in reading the Word of God. Let's go on to verse 39. It says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And here, listen to this. "Then they that gladly received the word," his word, "were baptized." Those that received. See, he's giving this message to all, but you still have to receive. See, and think of this. Not all of those that heard this received. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this was 3,000 that were added to the church. So see, some received, some didn't receive. And again, this encouragement that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's speaking of at a later time. Now, again, you can be saved, and then right after you're saved, I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost immediately, and it's a beautiful thing. So then I said, okay, but we've got to read the rest of the story. So let's go on over to Acts 8. Let's talk about these ones that receive Jesus as Savior. Let's talk about these ones that are baptized in the name of Jesus. So we go over to Acts chapter 8, and it gets very precious, and how wonderful that we can, well, let's just go ahead and read from verse 9. It says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all have heed from this least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also." Isn't that amazing? Praise God for his grace. I believe somebody was praying for him. What do you think? You think those ones that received the Lord, see, they didn't just despise that guy and say, "Oh, what a wicked sort," and all that. I believe they prayed for that man. And praise God, isn't that wonderful? That he believed. So see, he believed in Jesus, and he believed also and was baptized. It's so wonderful. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. See, isn't that wonderful? Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So this is so wonderful. Here you have these people that now have received Jesus. They're baptized in the name of Jesus. And now the brethren were so excited and so encouraged. We're going to send these two brothers down to pray with them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? So see, now you can take chapter 2 in absolute context. You shall receive. It's there for you. It's expected by the grace of God that we would go on in truth. Amen. He would that what? All men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. That has been provided for all of God's precious people. It's there for them. So, who when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And again, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. You need to believe. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. How much clearer could that be? Amen. Isn't it right there? Why do we want to wrestle with this? Why do we want to try to flip this and move this and all of these things? It's just there. Just believe it. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, here we go. This is the only place that you'll hear about ones receiving the Holy Ghost where it doesn't specifically say, "and they spoke in other tongues." But God being so merciful and encouraging to us, this was a witness to Simon. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Well, what did Simon see? Well, we know what Simon saw. He saw the Holy Ghost fall upon them, and he saw them speak in other tongues. Praise be to God. And so, as he said, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Simon believed God and was baptized, but he sure had a lot more to learn, didn't he? Yeah, and so that goes on about him and what was encouraged in his life. But this was precious to be able to tell this brother. And he saw that it was such a precious thing that, you know what? And immediately, see, that's the thing. If we're willing to truly know the will of God, there is no time constraint to God to teach you the word of God. And I'm telling you, it was immediate. This brother kept taking it. And then I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to break off here for just a minute because the Lord wants me to go talk about. Now, honey, I don't want you to be confused, you know, with gift of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues and then the gift of tongues to the church. He says, oh, I've seen that. He says, I know that. He says, that gift of tongues, I believe, and I know that's separate. That's for when people come together in a meeting, and I'm listening to this. I have never had anybody ever exactly give that in such perfect explanation that I know that did not sit under a meeting that taught him that. But see, again, that's the faithfulness of God. And he said, oh, no, I know that gift of tongues. That's for when, you know, because I've been here, I've seen that, and the Lord's witnessed that to me. That's the gift of tongues when there's an interpreter. That's the gift of tongues when that interpretation is there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. And see, I'm grateful to God, that brother God. He says, now, I've never had the interpretation, so I don't believe I have the gift of tongues. I said, well, but you can pray for it. He said, pray for those gifts if that's what the Lord put that on your heart. So it was such a sweet thing. So there wasn't a question about that. And then immediately what was sweet is he said, okay, well, what happens? Because I know immediately it started to chasten his heart, you know, for his loved ones, for his parents and different things. What happens to those that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost? What happens to those that really don't have that infilling and then have the dispensation of this Paul's gospel that you talk about? Praise God. It set the stage just to go right into Philippians chapter 3. And we were just flying through. See, that's what I'm saying. This just transpired even in a shorter amount of time than probably this little sermon's going to take. So we went right on over to Philippians chapter 3. And you know right there, it was so precious because we got to talk about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I said, this is what all this truth, praise God, is pointing towards, the magnificence of the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we just shot right on over here. And I said, listen to what Brother Paul is praying for. Listen to what his heart is just truly has been caused to just ache and wrenched that he might attain to this. And it goes on in verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. See, all of this, to know him, to know that love, to know the power of his resurrection. That's that full overcomer in Christ. That's the Holy Ghost power. Amen? And then you think of the power of his resurrection. Paul's even leading up, I want to know the power of the first trumpet resurrection rapture. I love that. I mean, there's just so many layers here. Don't limit what God, again, has in his truth. Don't. You can't, but don't limit it for yourself. And the fellowship of his suffering. So we know, as the word of God says, if we deny the sufferings, he's going to deny the right to reign. So we have this. Being made conformable, what? Unto his death. Praise the Lord. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And praise God, we know that that is the out resurrection. That is the first trumpet rapture. And that's what Brother Paul, as I was speaking to this precious brother, I said, you know, Paul had walked with God over 30 years when he's writing this. Over 30 years. He is not talking about a hope to be in heaven. He is not talking about a hope to see Jesus. He's talking about, if by any means I might attain to that precious resurrection, that first trumpet rapture. He says, I see that. Praise God. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. He says, I see that. And then I said, now listen to this. Not as though I had already attained. See, there's a humility and a humbleness. There's a confidence in the Lord to perform the work. But there's also always the humility, Lord, I know it's nothing of me. I know that you have to perform this, but I'm still confident in your grace. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm apprehended of the bridal message. Oh, yes, I am. That's how he's apprehended my heart. Praise God. And I'm just praying out, Jesus, draw me. Draw me. Isn't that wonderful? And I appreciate, again, that Song of Solomon. And I was mentioning about how sister had written these sweet little things. And it's precious about that draw me, because the very first thing he says, oh, you're the fairest among. You're the choice. I mean, he went right after it immediately in the Song of Solomon. He tells her, you're my choice. I'm not playing hard to get with you, honey. I've called you. I've chosen you. I've circled you out. Receive this. Okay, Lord, draw me. I know it's got to be you. You draw me. Hallelujah. And this is, it is exciting. There's nothing more exciting. And then he goes on and said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. See, there's one thing he does, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That means everything about this world, all these things, I'm not going to entangle myself with them. Everything. It's just Jesus. It's that continuing city, hallelujah, that even Abraham was touching upon for us. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The most excellent goal. That's what that means. I press towards the most excellent goal for the prize, the victory of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And always remember that high calling means the highest embrace. I love that. Always remember that. High calling. It means the highest embrace. And he just takes my heart every time. What was the highest embrace I ever wanted to have? The embrace of my wife. I love the embrace of my children. I love the embrace of my parents. I love the embrace. But it's that embrace of a wife. There's a difference. Praise God. So, you know, we had to go from there off to Romans 8. So we shot right on over to Romans 8. And, oh, you can just see the Holy Ghost dancing in this sweet man's eyes. I said, now see, honey, I said, because remember, the question was, what happens, you know, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and all, but, you know, well, honey, there's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is why he gave us the Holy Ghost. And see, you go right on over to Romans 8, and you see there in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And remember, that's tiknon. That's like an infant. An infant. You're a child of God. When you're born of God, you're a little infant in the Lord. And if children, a tiknon, a little infant, then you're an heir. You're an heir of God as a child of God. As that little tiny baby birthed, hallelujah, always an heir, hallelujah. But, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So how wonderful to see and to know, to say, you know, this is what's in the heart of God for you. This is what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to remain just an heir. He wants that joint heirship. He wants that bridal relationship by the grace of God with you. And this is what the mature sons will have as they allow the grace of God to completely fill their life with all the truth and love. So then, from there, you know we had to head over to Ephesians chapter 3. And from there, in Ephesians chapter 3, we see so sweetly that Paul again testifies that this wonderful revelation that was given to him in 3:3, Paul says, this revelation was made known unto me, this mystery that I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may know or understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And in verse 5 he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we see so sweetly and so clearly that this is something that was hidden. We know in other parts of Scripture, we rejoice in, that those prophets wrote those things for us. I love that. It was so beautiful, the love that Christ has for us. This is exactly what the whole thrust and pinnacle of this age is all about. Christ Jesus is going to have his bride. And that calling is to us and for us. But then as you go on to verse 6, and here it is, that the Gentiles, and always remember this, and as I was able to take him down, he had a sweet Scofield Bible. And in the Scofield Bible, in the first note at the very bottom of the page, that the Gentiles were to be saved was no mystery. Praise God, Brother Scofield, you're right. That the Gentiles were going to be saved was no mystery. Amen. It was already done in the Old Testament. This is so sweet. And this is speaking, if you want to even really understand this, this is talking not to Gentiles in a sense of a race of people. This is speaking to saved ones, ones that are saved. That the Gentiles now are saved ones is what this means, should be fellow heirs. So now we're to that precious word, sunkleronimus, which means joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Right back to Romans 8:17, which is so sweet that this is that encouragement that we have this joint heirship with Christ that's been offered to us. So it was sweet to say this is the outcalling that Paul looked for himself that was out for among the saints. And hallelujah, you could just see. Praise God. It was clicking. It was clicking. This just, when the Spirit gives you utterance, quit thinking. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. Isn't it evident? Think about that sweet little young sister up at camp that was praising the Lord for hours, every night, and speaking in tongues. Praise God. Is that not the evidence that, you know what, leave it to God. He's no respecter of person. Preach the word. Just preach the word. Believe God. And let me tell you something. It does not return void unto God. I mean, I just rejoice. I thank the Lord, the faithfulness of God to my mom. And thinking, again, she has children that love the Lord. Hallelujah. That seek God. I'm thankful for my brother. He's not here. I can talk about him. He comes down Friday nights, whatever. And it's not to magnify him, but the grace of God that's with him. Worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm believing the same, and I can see the Lord again in his faithfulness, causing my son to be down here to worship the Lord. He's faithful. It comes through a lot of heartache and a lot of times where you're going, oh, Lord. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But see, this is that first trumpet rapture. And how grateful to God, again, that, you know, the Lord, again, we're on his learning curve, and he doesn't even have one. So we just trust God with this. So then we're off to Revelation. Amen? See, we can go right into Revelation. See, as you start to receive these things and believe, then we can just jump right over to Revelation 3. And how beautiful, because we can see the Philadelphia church. Now we're really answering the question that sweet brother had asked me. He said, well, what about those that don't receive the Holy Ghost, that don't come to this full knowledge of the truth? I said, well, let's continue to talk about those that do. And then we'll address that. Because that joy unspeakable and that abounding hope, to have that truly given to us and as a testimony, there is nothing greater of an influence and encouragement to other people that we're around. Amen? Than the joy of the Lord that's our strength when we truly have that wonderful strength of the perfect, complete, and all the will of God that testifies through our life. So I said to this brother, now, you asked about this, but I want to, first of all, have you understand, this Philadelphia church here, in the third chapter of Revelation, this is the church that it speaks of precisely, and specifically, that is spared of the tribulation that's about to come. And so we went right to the 10th verse, and I said, see, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. See, it's all the word. Nothing that you did, but it's just the word. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, the tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So here is this precious encouragement. And again, we can go right back to what Brother Paul was praying for in Philippians chapter 3. Amen? He said, if by any means I might attain unto that out resurrection. This is what he was praying for. This precisely is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God, this first trump rapture. And so grateful to God This is the out resurrection. Paul, praise God, he passed away in that wonderful alive state of the first rank company that's going to be raised, hallelujah, to meet the Lord in the air. And see, that would bring right back in. And it was sweet because he even jumped the gun on me. He said, well, isn't that one? He says, isn't it Thessalonians? And I said, yes, honey, that's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he said, yeah, that's the dead in Christ that'll rise first. I said, precisely. Is that wonderful? I mean, it thrills you. See, it's just the Lord ministering to us. Don't doubt God. And you think, okay, well, you know, this young man never was around Pentecostals. And I'm not just saying that Pentecostals, don't get me wrong, because there are many Pentecostals that wrestle with the security of the believer. Matter of fact, most do. It's so sad. But never been really, in a sense, introduced to this type of a thing. But there he was. And what witness? And see, that's why I say we need to be ready to give every man an answer, amen? Don't just assume. You don't know what God has witnessed to somebody, and you don't know what God might have you ready to witness somebody to. So it was so wonderful, then we went over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and absolutely, that we saw the dead in Christ arise. But then, hallelujah, we were able to go right over to Revelation 4 when John arrives in heaven after the first trump. So here is this blast, it's so sweet. In Revelation chapter 4, John says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. See, the first voice, that's the trumpet. And he heard it. Ba-doom! Amen. That's the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Hallelujah. It's all there, written layer upon layer and layer. Come up hither, I'll show these things which must be hereafter. And John in verse 2, it says, and immediately I was in spirit. Behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like an emerald. It's so much in there. But it was so sweet to say. And see, I said, brother, see, round about the throne, the very first thing in the verse 4 that he sees were 24 seats, and upon those seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And how sweet, you could just see that was the first company that John is able to see in heaven. And how wonderful, because it was able to express, to say, you know, remember in the Old Testament, and he says, yes, and it was so sweet again. He says, I think I don't want to give this away because I never like to point out people very much. But a friend of his said, yeah, I think my friend said to me, was that not that Faith Hall of Fame, those Old Testament ones in Hebrews? And I was dumbfounded. I thought you guys, all you did was mess around. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for fellowship. And again, that's what God does. Be around people of faith. Be around people of faith. Encourage people in faith. It's so important. But see, we were able to talk about that and to say, well, see, honey, this is so true. These are those Old Testament worthies of faith. And there they are. That 24 is a representation and a representative number of the Old Testament, the priestly order, all of these things. And there they are with crowns. See, there was a victory. There was a winning. There was a reigning that they took, that was given to them, and it's precious. They have thrones that they sit upon, and they're sitting around the throne, around the midst of the throne. So right there is the middle, that focal point, Jesus, hallelujah. And they're all seated around it, and it's a wonderful thing. And it was sweet again. He said, well, when did they get up there? Because now he's thinking about ranks, hallelujah. He's thinking about order and times and all these things. And I said, well, son, I said, if you go back to Matthew 27, it says in Matthew 27, when Jesus rose and the veil was rent in twain, it was a precious time, because it said, and many of the graves of the saints were open. Many. Not all. Amen. Not all, but many. So it shows you again that there was, even if you would want to even, you know, people say, well, there's no such thing as a split rapture and blah, 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 and all this kind of thing. Well, I'll tell you what, there was right there. Not all of those graves were open of the saints in the Old Testament. It says many, but not all. So there was an overcoming part of the Old Testament believers. Amen. There was a victorious part. And we read of many of them, obviously, in Hebrews 11. That wonderful reward rank of an overcomer of the Old Testament. And so grateful to God that it was so evident to see. But wrapping this up, because, you know, we didn't have a lot of time. You know, our attention span can't last that long. But there was glory moving along here. But praise God. Then we got right over to the four living ones. And I said, you know, honey, these are just like Jesus. That's why these beasts. You know, because a lot of people say, oh, the beasts, and they're wrestling with this. Well, come on now. If you really know the word of God, you know, that lion, well, you got him right there in Matthew. You got that ox, and thank the Lord that second beast, the calf, the ox, that's just like Mark, the description of Jesus the servant. Amen. And then you have the man, that beast that looks like a man. Well, we know by the grace of God that that's the depiction in Luke. And then, hallelujah, the full overcoming eagle. We know that's the depiction of our Lord in John. So that's why it's those beasts. That's why it's those types, because that's our Lord. And that company of these four living ones are the ones that are like him. Amen. They're the ones that praise God. That's why John, when he's being led around up in heaven, that's why he keeps bowing down and worshiping that guy that's rocking him around. And he keeps lifting him up. He says, don't you do this, John. I'm just like you. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. But see, John, the one who laid his head on Jesus' breast, he can't tell because that one is so like him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's a thrilling thing. And, you know, we're grateful to God that the Lord testifies like this. And again, you could see the smile on this young man's face. And you could see that, you know, just encouragement there. And he said, well, how do you know that these are people? Well, you know, again, it's amazing what happens when we continue to read the full word of God, because you go on over to chapter 5, and that song that these four living ones sang in verse 9, redeemed us to God by the blood. Amen. And you can see the smile. Yeah. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise God. How simple. So we know that these are people. But once again, as I know you know this, and we thrill together tonight, but I said, you know, son, as you go back to chapter 4, verse 6, read that sixth verse. What's so special about where they are? And then he said, it's the midst of the throne. The midst of the throne. And praise God, God was putting that all together for him. See, there were ones round about the throne. But he said, they're in the midst of the throne. He said, that's the middle, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. I said, this is a heart company. They're right in the middle. They're ruling and reigning. That's those that we read about being glorified together with him. He's not kidding. This is it. This is that mark for the prize. This is that out resurrection. This is what Paul said, if by any means I might attain to this. This is what Christ has apprehended my heart for. This is what this gospel does. It apprehends your heart for this. Praise God. And it was just such a joy and a rejoicing for both of us to have the Lord just encourage us together in this truth. So then came the answer. Or the question one more time. He says, I see what the Lord wants me to have. What about those that don't see this? And I said, okay, now we'll get to that point. Now, go on over with me to chapter 7 of Revelation. I said, brother, we've talked a little bit about those seven churches. You see that the Philadelphia church is the only one that's spared from the tribulation. The other ones will enter in, except obviously for Smyrna. Didn't necessarily get into that. We'll talk about that. Obviously, we talk about that on Wednesday nights. But it was so sweet that we could rejoice in that. But you could also see there was a burden on his heart immediately, because he's thinking about his loved ones. He's thinking about all of his family. Thank God he's from a family that loves the Lord. He's from a family, praise God, that has instructed him in the things of God and in the ways of the Lord, just like an Apollos. that he knew the scriptures and knew them very well. And I was so thankful to God. But thank you, Jesus, for the humility and the encouragement to receive these things. But I said, brother, there's a second trump. And there's even more trumps than that as you go into the Word of God. But let's just talk about those, and we'll end it with that, of what you've been asking, those that will not be ready for that. So obviously we went into the seventh chapter. And in the seventh chapter and in the ninth verse, here's this vision that the Lord gives to John. And now you think, we've went from the beginning of the tribulation, and now we're getting closer to the middle of it. And here we have this company. And he says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and tongue and people in tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So it was sweet, because immediately the Lord had this sweet brother perceive, they're standing before the throne. I said, yes. And he says, and what is this about the palms in their hands? And I said, well, honey, I said, you go to church every week. He said, yeah, I do. I said, what do you hear about? And he kind of was talking a little bit. I said, what do you really, really hear about? And it wasn't too long. Missions. It's all about missions. It's all about serving. It's all about, you know, what I can do for God. I said, yeah, it's pretty servant type, isn't it? And I said, and sure, wonderful. I mean, praise God, when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and might, he causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure, amen? In a sense, I'm not a servant to my wife, but I better be her greatest servant because I love her. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I want to meet those needs, amen, because of love. There's a willingness in my heart. I mentioned about dishes many times. I never knew what that was. And I gladly do them because I know that it makes her happy. I want to help. Amen? Right. I love my mom too, very much. My mom will tell you. But I didn't do a dish. She'd do them for me. Different love, amen? It's called first love. And it wasn't because I was thinking I was going to get smacked if I didn't. Because thank the Lord for the gracious wife I have. She loves me enough. It didn't matter either, but I was thankful for the opportunity and still am by the grace of God. She came home to a clean house. Can you imagine that? True, but I wanted to. It wasn't something, oh, here I go. No, I wanted to do that. And it's not to compliment me. Please understand that. The whole type here is because of love. Because you love. Love causes you to do things that you would never do. Love causes you to be the person you could never be. And that, to infinity, because it can't even be compared, is the love of Christ in you. When Jesus' love gets a hold of your life, you'll quit of you. You'll stop of you. You will. And you'll love. And then you can be used of the Lord in a mighty way. But see, we finally see in this. This is the majority of Christianity today, is it not? This is what they want to settle for. Unfortunately, it's because people don't want to really know the truth. They just want to kind of skate through. They don't have that true affection and draw to understand Jesus doesn't just love me. He's in love with me. But in order to hear how in love he is with you, you have to be still. You have to be humble. You have to be willing by the grace of God. And that's all by the grace of God. Amen. And then as you know, and as you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remember that word grace. Because that's love. And we do need to be very aware always that knowledge can puff us up, but it's the love that edifies. It's the love that makes the difference. It's the love by the grace of God that will grip a heart. It's love that will testify to somebody. And remember that. There's no true love without truth in love. Understand that. They're not a separate thing in its full power. There's a oneness in it. But there has to be that love. Truth alone is harsh. Truth alone can be very condemning and judgmental. It has to have the love of God. And that's the testimony by the grace of God. For the edifying to be there, for that spiritual encouragement. In each and every one of us, by the grace of God, especially those that didn't grow up into this meeting, that's what gripped your heart. That's what touched you. I know my brother Moses here. That's what touched him when he came into this meeting. He perceived. I'm in a place, there's a sincerity of truth in love. Amen. Praise God. Thank him for this. But that's the witness and testimony. And praise God, isn't it wonderful that it's not what I can do for God, it's what he wants to do in me. In me. And it is that in love. And we're in mighty times. And I thank the Lord. I do. I'm so grateful to God. But this is a testimony of the faithfulness of God in this meeting. That struck that young man's heart because of the sincerity of the joy of the Lord that is our strength that was evident at the camp. The ones that came in that last night to perceive and to hear. I still hear from one. You'd never know. But just love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Amen. Let him take care of the rest. But don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't go and testifying to people in your head. It's got to be the word of God that does it. You don't have much time. You just don't. Give out the word. Praise his name. Let's go ahead and stand. Be dismissed.